upcoming Shabbos is the Shabbos before Purim, and we have a special reading. It's called Parshas Zachar, that in the end of Shacharis in most Sidurim, not that people, most people do it, but they have the different types of remembrance we're obligated in. So one of the remembrances we have is to remember what Amalek, the evil Amalek, the nation that attacked us when we were in the Midbar, and it was a war, because usually when you fight a war, you want to gain something like material, land. The Jews had nothing. They were slaves. I mean, they had some gold and silver, but I don't think that was their purpose. They went out there, they were a wandering Jew, had no land. It was attack against God because they represented the Jewish people, so that was the way of attack. So Amalek is known as the epitome of evil, and therefore we have a mitzvah of remembering Amalek, and there's also a mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Whether the mitzvah of destroying Amalek actually applies in our day, that's a separate discussion, not for now. We'll start with the mitzvah of Zachar, which is a question, is it linked to the mitzvah of destruction, remembering, or it's separate. So either way, so the minig is, how do we fulfill our mitzvah of Parshas Zachar? So, well, before what the minig is, what's the halacha? What is one required to do? So the Rambam, Maimonides, seems to say there's nothing really special about this Shabbos. We have a mitzvah, Lizkar Tamid B'chol Yom, paraphrasing the Rambam, unless I'm quoting him, but I'm paraphrasing him. Something along those lines. He says, we have a daily mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us. So according to the Rambam, every day when we talk about, right now, when we talk about Amalek, so we're fulfilling our mitzvah. That's what this, some have a zechir at the end of Shacharis, I believe, right? You can find it meanwhile. Because there's a list of different things we remember. We remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, other things. So one is Yetzias Mitzrayim, not to forget about that the Torah was given in Har Sinai, and other things. But Zachar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. We have to remember what Amalek did to us. So according to the Rambam, there's nothing special. 354 days a year on a lunar calendar. 383 days on a lunar calendar with a leap year, and 365 days and change on a solar calendar. Every day, whatever, however you want to count them, every day of the year, you have a mitzvah, a biblical commandment to remember what Amalek did to us. And it's fulfilled by remembering. So let's have a moment of silence. So is that enough? Okay, so I'll just take 30 seconds every day. I won't mention the words. I'll say, you all know what I mean. I'll tell you yesterday, you know, we're going to take 30 seconds today. Is that good enough? But this is to remember. So how does halacha define remember? So halacha doesn't define remember, just thinking about it. But as the Gemara tells us in Megillah, it says zachar, it says to remember. At the end of it, it says lo sishkach, don't forget. So obviously, if I'm not going to forget it, I'm going to remember. What do I need? What do we learn from the words zachar? So we learn out zachar bepeh. So generally speaking, whenever we have a mitzvah to remember, it's not enough just to be cognitive remembrance, but we have to actually do it bepeh. We have to actually spell it out. That's the Shitas HaRambam. Every day of the year, we have a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did. How do we fulfill it? By saying it.
Verbally.
I need to verbalize. It doesn't have to be that as exact words. You say you understand. In fact, saying those words and not knowing what you're saying, maybe you don't fulfill the mitzvah. You have to know what you're saying. It's a biblical mitzvah. Mitzvah striches kavana. So that's why it's important when they will get to them and read and show that people know what they're actually listening to. So the Magen Avraham gives us a good idea. The Magen Avraham writes, how do we fulfill, since this is based on the Rambam, obviously, he says, how do we fulfill our mitzvah in davening? Do we mention Amalek explicitly in davening? If we did, that would be great. We don't mention explicitly. So most times, if I was reading the paragraph, I wouldn't know I was talking about a Amalek. Told me because the Magen Avraham told me. So the Magen Avraham says when we read before Kriya Shema, this is the Sfaradi Dre, but it should be in here also. The Kerav Tano. Do they have it in here or not?
Yeah,
yeah, it must be somewhere.
The
Kerav Tano. Volcano with Shimka Gada, where is it? All right, here. V'kerav tano makena v'shimka ha-gado sala b'mez b'yava. So when we say those words, v'kerav tano, v'kerav tano makena v'shimka ha-gado, we wait for the days that God's name becomes complete. What does that mean, God's name become complete? So we read in a couple of weeks ago in Parashas B'Shalach, at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, it says, as long as Amalek is around, God's throne is incomplete. So this is an allusion to it. When you say, we wait for the day that God's name becomes full, comes big, so that's an allusion to the destruction of Amalek. So the Magen Avraham writes, when we say this in the morning, V'kerav tano l'shimka gado, one should have in mind to fulfill the biblical mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. That is the opinion of the Magen Avraham based on the Rambam. So it's based on the Rambam's opinion. It's a daily mitzvah, and it must be verbalized. Okay, that's the minimum according to everyone. Comes along the Bali Tosfos in Brachas, Megillah, different places. The Tosfos adds a chiddush, adds a further stipulation. Even though he agrees to Zachar Bepeh, he agrees that Zachar means Bepeh, but he learns out based on, from Sefer, different juxtapositions, maybe between Megillas Esther and the Torah. I forget the exact drush he has. We could look it up. But he basically says, his chiddush is, that it's not enough to just verbalize Parsha Zachar by heart, or in a chumash, or in a siddur. One has to read it from a Sefer Torah. Because you get, I think that over there they're talking about different, like what mitzvahs, because usually when we read from the Torah, it's usually only a rabbinical obligation that Moshe and Ezra both instituted laning, and even if it is from Moshe, it was only a rabbinical institution. And therefore, when we read the Torah, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, these are all, we're getting a rabbinical mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So generally speaking, so he goes into what, so the mitzvah of Bikurim, that involves a biblical mitzvah. He goes to a different things, and I think there he writes, reading Parsha Zachar, you know, from a Sefer Torah. So that's, so Tosis has a bigger chiddush. He takes the Rambam a step further. He says, it's not enough that, and I assume Tosis, we'll see, he'll probably say then, since it's from a Sefer Torah, the minhag according to him would be that to read on the Shabbos before Purim. So then, because when we take out a Torah, we read Parsha Zachar, because I guess, you know, most people, I assume, would have a Sefer Torah in their home. So the Tosfos would presumably assume, you know, you could do it really any time of the year, but it makes sense, the Shabbos before Purim. You take out a Sefer Torah, you turn to the end of Parshas Kisetze, at the end of Deuteronomy, and you read this portion that you remember about Amalek, you know, and our mitzvah to destroy them. So Tosfos adds to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, it's enough just to, everyone agrees thinking alone doesn't, of course, when everyone agrees you should be thinking about it, don't just say the words and not think about it, but that's not enough. You have to minimally, according to the Rambam, just say the words verbally. You don't need any text. You don't have to be reading from something. Tosfos says, no, it's not enough to just to say it and verbalize. You have to verbalize it from a Sefer Torah. So presumably, that's probably just a, you know, that's a discussion. Is that a din? Remembering Parsha Zachar is a biblical law. So Tosfos says you have to read it from a Sefer Torah. Is that also a biblical law? Or no, that's just the rabbi's extension. That's a discussion. Pasha, it sounds, you know, like, you know, it depends how you learn the Tosfos. You know, maybe Tosfos himself seems to say it's biblical, but that's a discussion on whether actually reading from the Torah, in other words, according to Tosfos, if I read it without a Torah, would I not get my mitzvah min HaTorah? You know, we could discuss that. But that's Tosfos. Comes along the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, And he says a bigger chiddush, a bigger thing. It's not enough just to verbalize it. It's not enough just to even take out a Sefer Torah and read it. You know what else you need? You need to do it b'tzibur. You need to do it in the congregation. You got to do it in shul. You know, it could be any time, but let's assume Shabbos morning in shul. Yeah.
If somebody's reading it up there and you're reading along, that's okay?
Yeah, so even you don't even have to read along. You just have to listen.
Okay.
That's a discussion. Some say you should read along, others say not, because, you know, it depends. You know, so most people just listen. You know, if you listen, we're good. But that is some are strict to actually read privately, but some, you know, maybe some might say it's a negative also because you're not reading from a Sefer Torah. But either way, the minhag, I think, is not to. The custom is just listening. Because by listening, we're considered like reading. Like Friday night, I make Kiddush and you listen, you are actually saying it, not just listening. So comes along the Rush and says, it's not enough just to verbalize it. It's not enough just to take out a Sefer. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah in your house and you're alone. That's a no-go. You have to, well, you could have it, if you have a minion in your house, that's okay. But you have to find a Sefer Torah and you need a minimum of 10 men in order to form a tzibur, and therefore one must read Parsha Zohar b'tzibur. So it's not enough just to read it by yourself from a Torah like Tosfos says. The Rush takes it a step further. Where does he get this from? Why does he introduce a chumrah of reading it b'tzibur? How does he know? So it's just an inference from what he doesn't say. Sometimes you learn a lot from the way if someone speaks and leaves something out. So what the Rush doesn't say, we learn a lot, or he actually says it, but he says not, you'll see in a second. That's assuming I remember what the Rush says. But the Rush says something along these lines. I believe there's a Gemara in Brachos. Mem. Vav, Zayim, and Ches around there. But either way, the Gemara is that, I think it was Rabbi Elazar, it could be a different rabbi. He showed up in Shul, you know, and that never happens here, but without there was no minion. We didn't have 10 people. So they had 9, and he happened to have a slave, not the slaves that Lincoln freed. We never believed in that stuff. That was always against the Torah. But an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani, without going into the details, is a quasi-Jew. All he needs is to be freed. Once he's freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So the Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Elazar, he freed his servant and in order to make dominion. So that's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? There's a biblical prohibition. You're not allowed to free your slave. So how could he go ahead and free his slave? Well, we'll see. You know, obviously, there's qualifications, but the simple reading of the pasuk is you can't go olam behem ta'avod. So the Gemara answers, it's for a mitzvah. It's for mitzvah purposes. So the Gemara says, so what? Mitzvah haba b'aveira. You can't do a mitzvah through the means of a sin. So the Gemara says, no, mitzvah derabim shani. A public mitzvah is different. So, and this is a public, so that's the Gemara. So comes along the Rush and says, when did this happen? When did this incident happen that he freed his slave? So, which is a further discussion. So the Rush says, and don't tell me. This is where the Rush says not to say. See, I'll say it, but Rush says don't say it, and I'll say it. But the Rush says, don't say that this Gemara is referring, you know when this happened? It was Shabbos Parsha Zohar, and he freed his slave. Don't tell me, you know, so maybe, because, you know, maybe he holds you can't free a slave on Shabbos, is a question whether you can. Some, you can't make an acquisition, but some discuss if you're mafkir, if you make something ownerless, then maybe it is okay. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. But anyway, the Rush says, and don't tell me. So the question is, like, who cares? Why is the Rush bringing up, and don't tell me it was Shabbos, you know, who cares? Like, so they infer from here that what is what is the, like, if you didn't need a binyan, if you didn't need a tzibor for Parsha Zohar, why would the Rush even bring it up? The fact the Rush says, and don't tell me this Gemara is talking about Shabbos Parsha Zohar, and that's why you need a binyan, you know. So they infer from the Rush, but what do we see in the Rush? You need it, it has to be done with tzibor. He's saying this case wasn't talking about Parsha Zohar. Others might say it is. I'm saying the Rush says it's not. So the point being is it's an inference from the Rush that one needs a tzibor on Shabbos Parsha Zohar. So we have three major opinions in the Rishonim. The Rambam says it's enough just to say it verbally. Tosis says you got to verbalize about mitoch haksav from the parchment, from the Torah. And the Rush says it's not enough to say it verbally. It's not enough to read it in the parchment. You have to actually read it b'tzibor. We'll have to continue tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see what alaminig is. Obviously, we are strict for the opinion of the Rosh. We'll see. Do we pass and do you have to hear b'tzibor, or is this preferable? We'll continue tomorrow. Did you hear tomorrow? It's Tuesday. You're not here. I don't know. You came. It's all about timing. Oh, you know, okay.
I might be able to make Minchamar, but I'll be back by 7.